This is fun! The FU Network!
Hello, I'm Steven Kersner. Welcome to the No Bullpen. The name says it all. This is where we talk about things political without any of the normal bull that you'll see or hear or read other places on the internet or wherever you get your information from or misinformation from, as it may be. Our program today, I want to thank Tyler Goodison, Albert LeBlanc, Nicholas Ortepi, David H., Mark Bosco, and Corey Tepper. They're just some of the people who have helped us out by supporting us on Patreon, by donating, by subscribing. Starts as little a dollar a month. It adds up. So I appreciate them helping us keep this stuff going. We've done so well. I mean, amazingly well. There's 700,000 podcasts every day on iTunes, which is a staggering figure. And we, in Canadian iTunes, we don't know how many specifically are just in iTunes Canada, but of those, we rose up in 3 weeks to spend 2 weeks in the top five. I don't know where we are at this particular moment, but we're either in the top five or the top 10.
As long as we're beating Shapiro.
Yeah, we're beating Shapiro, but we're also beating CBC and BBC. And when you consider the pedigree and the money that they have, it just shows that we were right to build this network, because Canadians and soon around the world, I mean, we'll be expanding to more topics in Canada, but people in general want sources of media that they can relate to, that sound like them and their friends talking, that are informed, that have opinions, but aren't setting their hair on fire and screaming at each other. So
that's, I don't even have hair, so yeah. You know.
Well, because you set it on fire. The voice you're hearing there is Justin Whitehead, and joining us today also Lauren Griffith and Stuart Benson.
Hello.
I should say right off the bat that I have a head cold. It just hit me today, and Justin is going to be my co-pilot for this show. So if at any point I become incapacitated, Justin will take over and guide things. But I'm hoping to make it through. And if I say anything tonight that is more loopy than you would expect to hear from me, well, it's because of that. I've taken some cold medicine.
It's just about to say.
Yeah. So if I start saying things that don't make any sense, either I'm doing an impression of Andrew Scheer or the cold medicine has kicked in. So Justin, what are the topics tonight?
Tonight we're covering it as a part two to last week. We've got the slogans from the People's Party of Canada, the NDP, and the Greens.
Oh, that's right. You guys convinced me to do this, even though I think it's a complete waste of time.
Oh, come on.
We were sick and like vulnerable. It's easy.
Come on. You're talking about three parties, which, I mean, the Greens may wind up being a spoiler, but the NDP and the People's Party of Canada, saying their name is actually as much screen time as they deserve based on their
true story.
Gotta have some comic relief tonight.
Yeah, but okay. So basically, last week we talked about the meanings and messages in the Liberal and Conservative slogans.
Yeah.
Choose forward, and it's time for you to get ahead. So we're talking this week about the other slogans, and you can be forgiven if you didn't realize that the others had slogans. let's start. Who wants to start? Who? Let's start with the NDP. Who's covering that?
I had NDP, actually.
Okay, so go for it. What's the slogan? Tell us about it.
Well, it's kind of weird because it seems like they went to sort of the same like slogan guy as the Conservatives, because they have like there's in it for you, and they even have like when it says for you on the ad, it like does a little cursive thing for you. That's basically where the similarities with the conservative ads like stop. They released two ads. The first one, the English ad, it's fairly your basic ad. And I would say probably they're less effective of the two. It's sort of just like Jagmeet talking to people, sort of like the same thing as Trudeau's ad where he was like on the bus.
All you had to say when you talked about less effective is Jagmeet's in it.
Well, I think he did, because the French ad was actually pretty effective, where it starts off and it's in French and he's not wearing his turban, and it's a direct reference to the French religious symbols ban.
That's interesting.
That is powerful. I like that.
He's got like his hair down. He looks pretty cool. Like he's getting big like Aquaman Jason Momoa vibes.
Lauren, you had a comment about that.
I think that's really cool though. I thought that the French version would just be a French version, right? Like just translated into French. But that's really powerful that he's decided to take that opportunity to shed light on that and say, like, this is what I will be to Canada, right? Like,
I think it is
powerful, and I think that's really cool that he put perspective on that. I think that's really cool.
And I don't know if this is the best way to phrase it, but I don't think he really had a choice because he sort of has to confront it, because he's the only political leader in the federal election who would be affected by this religious symbols ban. Like if he went to speak at a parliamentary session or something, mm-hmm. in Quebec, would he have to remove his turban?
If
this ban is in effect, what are the exceptions to the rule? So
I don't want to get dragged down into
a separate conversation. Yeah, that one.
I don't know. They're just a bunch of bigots over there, disguising themselves as secularists. But
he does the whole wrapping up his turban, and then they cut to him wrapping up his hands to do boxing, and he's like, hey, I can box too, and then also I have ground game, because they're doing like some MMA stuff. But as far as that goes, I think it was a pretty strong ad. And then it starts with him without his turban on, and he's got his hair down, and then at the end he's got his turban up. And I don't know if this was intentional, but the sneak message I saw in there was to Quebecers, just like, well, which one of me would you rather have? Because with your religious symbols ban, you can either have the big, long Jason Momoa, looking dude come in, or with my colorful turban, and I look very, sage and, respectable. And I'd like, mm-hmm. I don't know if that was intentional, but I definitely saw that. It was a very good contrast to have it start without the turban, his hair's down.
Do you think that the ads... open this to the panel. Do you think that the NDP's ads will do anything to stop their abysmal performance in this upcoming election? Lauren?
No, I don't. Just because of the weight of this election, I don't think that people are really going to be concerned about, realistically, outsider parties. For the most part, we've always done liberal, conservative, liberal. So I don't see it being any different now, especially when they're really emphasizing this election as a conservative, liberal voting block, right? I don't see that making a difference, really.
Okay, Justin?
I think for a very select few people who may have voted NDP in Quebec, back when they had their big push, when Layton was still around, maybe they might bring a few of those people back, or sort of sick of the whole bloc thing, which seems to be gaining some steam again. But countrywide, I just don't see it.
Okay. Stuart, you wanted to add something to it?
I don't think most people even noticed these campaign ads or the unveiling of the slogan. Do you think these ads will make a difference? I don't think that they even had a big enough audience to even consider them making a difference, because most people were more focused on the fiasco in New Brunswick.
Well, okay, let's be fair, okay? In the run-up to this period of time, we've had Justin Trudeau talking about values, Canadian values. We've had Stephen Harper. Oh, I'm sorry. They're calling him Andrew Scheer now. We've had him talking about basically appealing to people's selfishness. But with a message. His message is basically, I could do better than Trudeau. And the big issue that Jagmeet Singh chose to show his big, big NDP vision was a national bike lane strategy. And it's like, who gives a shit about this? We're talking about the direction the nation is going to take. We're talking about how social programs are going to be funded or if they're going to be cut. We're talking about people's welfare here. And you want us to give a shit about a bike lane in the Yukon? This is, you know, he's the only leader, the only NDP leader, I think, that has ever made the NDP get weepy and nostalgic for Audrey McLaughlin. He seems like a nice guy, but he's in the wrong business. And I think their slogan is off. I think their slogan should have been in all caps, we're over here. Because no one's paying any attention. Now, I don't know if that's because often people, you know, politicians can be criticized for, well, they didn't present their platform and they weren't telling Canadians what they were going to do, when in fact they did have a platform and they were trying to, but the media determined that there was better stories that day. I don't know if that's the case.
The they went with was that, like, at the point I'm making is like the coverage they got this week was basically focused on the, like, these 14 or should I say 9 NDP MPs who switched to the Green Party, and then Jonathan Richardson making his comments about racism in voters. So I don't think they're like anyone even noticed their ads.
It got obscured by all this happening. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about the fiasco between the Greens and the NDP in BC. We heard that there at one point that all of the NDP candidates were willing to go run for the Greens. We have seen some defections, which is interesting because there is only a surface similarity between the Green Party and the NDP. That surface similarity, that surface commonality, is an interest in the environment. But if you look at the policies of the Green Party, they are much more conservative fiscally than, they're more in line with the conservatives than they are with the NDP. And Elizabeth May has even said, to my knowledge, that she would consider propping up a conservative government. So
they pulled that off the table completely after he released his climate change, you know, plan.
They pulled that off the table They pulled it off the table when they realized who put this shit on the table. it's interesting. So, Stuart, what's the actual status and count of who's switching in the square dance going on there?
So I believe it was Tuesday that I think it was the Green Party released this memo that like 14 candidates were defecting. And I feel like as of now, 5 of those candidates have recanted, saying they're staying with the party. Elizabeth May accused Jagmeet Singh of intimidating these candidates. We don't really know why they stayed, maybe, or why this fake like information was posted. It seems like something... an intrepid journalist at one of the publications that ran with this story could have double-checked.
Okay, Justin, what do you want to say, Justin?
One of the points that Elizabeth May made in her statement was that of the 9 who have confirmed that they're leaving, they all said that they received calls from the NDP and that they were pressured to
Of course they were.
Of course, yeah. And you really have to hand it to... you know, the NDP's strategy teams around issues management and everything for how they handled this. They took, which is pretty much unprecedented, even at this point, 10 people, so 9 candidates and their executive who's in charge of operations for New Brunswick. They took those 10 people leaving their party very publicly for the Green Party, and they managed to turn that around and obscure it by saying, well, some of the things that Richardson said could be taken as racist. They weren't. He was talking about the opinions of constituents. He wasn't making any statements himself.
Right. But
they took, it's magic that they took 10 people abandoning the party and turned it into something else. Like,
there's no magic here.
There's nine members. Nine members defected and to the Green Party, and the Green Party ended up looking worse than the NDP after all of this. And I think that's so you got to give Jagmeet Singh credit for it. Like, it would be a sign of incompetence if he didn't try and pressure some of these.
Oh, for sure. What do you mean pressure?
Yeah.
This isn't pressure. And Lauren, I want to come to you in a minute, but this isn't pressure. When you have gone through the process of running for a nomination and securing a nomination, which for most parties is a difficult thing. For the NDP in BC, maybe it's a walk in the park, but it doesn't matter. You have said that you are going to represent the party. They have committed to printing signs with your name on them. You've made a commitment. When you decide you're just going to walk across the street, it isn't pressure for the leader to call you and say, what the fuck are you doing? That's not pressure. That's being a responsible leader. It's like, you made a commitment to us and we made a commitment to you, and now you're just walking away because you don't think you're going to win. Or, I mean, these people are opportunists. These are political opportunists. When you have a party at this point in an election, you're an opportunist. Lauren, your thoughts?
I have to 100% agree with that. If you're going to sit there and just kind of put your finger into the wind and see where it's blowing, then you gotta take your business elsewhere. I think that it's important that we recognize who those people are and kind of try to prevent that from happening again. I also agree as well that, you know, it wasn't necessarily pressure for, your leader to say, what in God's green earth are you doing? Like, you can't, no, that's not appropriate professional. That's not how you keep a party together. That's not what you would do in the middle of an election season. I agree that that's not necessarily pressure, but just him doing his job as the party's leader, like reining everybody in. It was effective, apparently. But it should have been, right? Like, you know, if it was anybody else's job, if I just decided to walk across the street and start working at a different store, pretty sure my boss would call me.
Okay, Justin, what were you have a comment.
Yeah, so part of the reason why they defected is because the NDP party in New Brunswick,
Don't say NDP party, because the New Democratic Party party.
Party.
Yeah, like they're the party people.
Party people.
Yeah, yeah, ATM machine.
So the ND party, I'm just going to leave that
it's
there.
It's even worse.
So they didn't nominate anybody, really. So that's why these people were mad. And they also said, well, you know, Jagmeet has never come to New Brunswick. And Elizabeth May, in her response, she picked up on that. And she said, he didn't even have a seat for 18 months. And she said in that time, she's been in New Brunswick 3 times. You know, where was he? And I think she did a pretty good job of turning that part of it around. But,
But here's the thing.
The websites for media in Canada, it's off the front page now. Like, it's already, you know,
because we've already forgotten about both of them.
Well, and here's the thing. This is the political equivalent, you know, defections between the NDP and the Green Party. This is the political equivalent of, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, does it still make noise? Who gives a shit? Mm-hmm. They were not going to be a factor in that part of the country. So them playing musical chairs, it's amusing, but it's not that important. So what's the Green Party slogan? Who's going to give that to us?
I've got that one. So the Greens went with not left, not right, forward together.
Which, they all went to the same slogan guy.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a really good, an interesting way to kind of piss off the, you know, self-described leftists and the self-described right wingers of the party at the same time. I really don't know why they went with that exactly. I mean, obviously they took it to, you know, a group, and they focus grouped it, and they voted on it, and that's the one that went through, just like I'm sure all the other parties did. But yeah, it's
all right. Lauren, your thoughts? Good slogan, bad slogan? How does it make you feel?
It feels very Joe Biden-y to me. It's very middle ground, yeah. Bleh. Like, it's nothing. Like, it's so meek, and yeah. It doesn't appeal to me at all. Like, it's very, I agree as well that, yeah, it's just, you got to pick a direction, right? Like, you can't be not left, not right, but forward together. We need to acknowledge that there are ideological differences in all of these parties. So you can't just say, well, I'm going to grab everybody's hand and force everybody to come along with me. Like, that, it doesn't.
Yeah, this is, she might as well, the Green Party might as well have had the slogan Kumbaya, because this is pointless. Not left, not right, forward together. Where are we going forward together?
Oh my God.
If you've got no, if it's not right and it's not left, where the hell are we going? What is the direction? What are you telling me and not telling me by, you know, not left, not right? Okay, thanks for telling me what you aren't. What are you? Mm-hmm. And this slogan doesn't do that. Stuart, speak.
So Lauren, you were very close with your guess about saying it sounds like Joe Biden, because I knew when you said it, I was like, yeah, I do know. It feels like I've heard this before. Not left, not right, forward is Andrew Yang's slogan.
Oh, for the
Democratic,
yeah.
Democratic primaries. So they, like, it's very, very fun. I don't know.
They got this slogan from the remainder bin from the U.S. Democratic Party nomination race.
I guess because, yeah. I'm looking at like news stories on it, and he's had it since at least June, if I can, like, Andrew Yang. So
I think so.
That's very funny. But yeah, no, it does seem like, I let's just choose forward, in it for you, time for you to get ahead. It's all just seems like, and they all seem like they're referencing each other, and like, and I don't, it, none of them seem like they really differentiate themselves.
Know what they're doing right now?
Yeah, and like, it's no one, like, really seems like they know what they, like, what their identity is. Just all they have is like, well, we're not these guys.
Well, I mean, I think that there is a delineation in the message between liberal and conservative. Very clear.
I mean, just if you took their, like, their slogans and just like, just
the slogan, I mean, the conservative slogan, the very heavy emphasis on you, which is, you know, we talked about it last week, but there's a very heavy emphasis on you, and there's a subtext there, which maybe I'm imagining it, but there's a subtext there, which is, it's time for you to get ahead. The subtext is, all these other people have gotten ahead of you, and it plays into that white male aggrievement that everybody else is getting government help. Everybody else is getting help. Who's helping me? It's, you know, it's all about this feeling of losing ground. That's who he's appealing to with, it's time for you to get ahead. Whereas
saying the NDP is doing the same thing? Cause they're in it for you. Like, it's, I don't know. It's just, they all seem, none of them seem like they,
no, there's a difference because the NDP obviously are saying that they themselves are in it for you, to help you. Time for you to get ahead is addressing somebody and saying that they themselves, that this person you're addressing should gain economic strength or whatever. The NDP are saying basically we're all in it. You know, our motivation for doing this is because we're concerned about you. We're your voice. Yeah. I think there's very different messages there, but who gives a shit? The NDP is not a factor.
Well, the similarity is this in the negative of their message, because they're both saying, the liberals are not in it for you. The liberals are getting ahead. You're not getting ahead, I guess. Sorry, that's just my whole point, was just if you infer what they're saying from the opposite.
And I guess, okay, Stuart, but I mean, obviously, you can take any inference you want, and people,
yeah,
because that's the nature of political slogans. The best political slogans are the ones that fit on bumper stickers, or on these days, hats, and which allow people to interpret it to whatever aggrievement or values or whatever that are important to them. You don't want to piss anybody off, so you say stuff that's generic, you know? City TV everywhere. I remember when they came out with that, and we were in the building, we were like, well, what the fuck does that even mean?
We're omniscient.
But it was vague enough that it caught on, because it didn't really mean a damn thing. That's the nature of these slogans. It's not gonna change anything. I think the big concern is whether Elizabeth May is gonna pull a Jill Stein, because Jill Stein pulled enough votes away from Hillary Clinton in key parts of key states in the last U.S. election to help put that Cheeto Bandito in the White House.
That's a bit.
I really want to touch on something fast. There.
Yes. Okay. Go ahead. Touch.
Sorry.
Good touch. So with that aggrievement thing, I find that, like, you're right, he is definitely appealing to that, but I find that so incredibly funny that they're appealing to that white male aggrievement thing, where this is the party that is always screaming about how people need to just pull themselves up by the bootstraps and just figure things out by themselves. Like, you know, you don't need the government to do things for you. You don't need this help from them.
Yeah.
And then they're making a message to that party, to that base, saying, you know, oh, everyone else is getting ahead of you. So sad, little snowflake victim. Would you like some help from daddy government?
Yeah.
Like, it's weird.
That's a very cogent point, which you're right, that this is the conservatives are the party of smaller government. I can spend my money better than the government can, which is not true, because there were millions of those Billy Bass singing fish sold a few years back, and not one of them was bought by the government. So the idea that individuals can spend the money better than the government when the government spends it on roads and healthcare, no, that's not true. Yeah. But that's the thing about white supremacists that always gets to me. It's like they're complaining that other people are taking their jobs. Dudes, if you're supreme, how can anybody take your job? You're supreme. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you afraid of? You're afraid of competition? Yeah. If you're supreme, you can conquer them. What are you crying about? You're supreme. White supremacists, you're supreme.
They are.
So be supreme. But you know, you're whining. You're whiny little bitches. Anyway, let's move on.
That's a great segue into the party.
Oh yeah,
allegedly. Allegedly.
Maxime Bernier, yes, who before this was famous for, or wasn't he famous for having left important file folders at a girlfriend's house overnight?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay. Like this is somebody who's supposed to trust with the government. He had a booty call and forgot his file folders there, and there was some important government information in them when he was part of Harper's government. And he's a guy who ran for the leadership of the conservatives, didn't win, and said, fine, I'll form my own party. I find him to be a boil on the ass of humanity. He is appealing to the worst in Canadians. But I see something good coming out of this, which is that the worst in Canadians doesn't amount to very much in the polls.
Yeah.
So who wants to? I opened it, but who's supposed to cover the PPC? And I always just like
it
to
was call me.
I just like to call them the PP party because it's funny. Lauren, go ahead. Yeah,
it is funny. Okay, so their slogan, the People's Party of Canada, is strong and free.
What does that mean?
You know what? And what does that mean? To me, there he's being very, very specific here, right? Because that is a piece from the national anthem.
Right.
You know, True North, Strong and Free. So he's immediately appealing to that nationalist idea. He could also be like semi-pandering to that like that supremacist idea of, yes, we are strong, we are free, that kind of idea that he's been working on. That
I have to interrupt you. I have to come to the defense of Maxime Bernier. He doesn't semi-pander at all. He goes full pander.
Truth.
Please go on.
you're right. Trying to be semi-nice here. Let's use some political correctness that the man hates so much. It's just, I don't see this going very, very far nationally, but anecdotally, he has got his fingers in a lot of pies right now, right? He's moved very hard to get every riding that he can. Like, he's got, I think, 338 candidates right now, so he's pushing very hard to be able to get on the ballot. And this subject is concerning to me personally, because I'm actually, like, I'm a mixed person, like, I'm a mulatto, so not being totally white and having this, you know, nationalist, white supremacist ideals surfacing is concerning. For the first time in my life, I had someone who, of course, was a PPC supporter. We disagreed on something, and this person, you know, said, I don't look like I'm from this country. Why did I leave my country if mine was so good? Why did I move to Canada?
So, so this person meant that you didn't look like an Indigenous person? Because from this country originally.
I know. And so, like, yeah, that ignorance is scary, but also that sentiment is scary.
Well, the important
and just the fact that this has moved so far and so fast is a little bit concerning. I don't necessarily, like, I don't think that he's going to get anywhere, and especially with, like, you know, the billboard issue and the whole Greta Thunberg debacle, he's taken himself out by the knees, but I don't think this is a short-term game for him. And something else that we really need to be aware of and remember is that Max was, you know, half a percentage point away from being tied with Andrew Scheer, right? He is the Conservative Party's megaphone. He says all the quiet stuff out loud. So, yeah. You know, it is what it is for right now, but I don't think that it's necessarily wise to just shrug him and his ideas off.
I will make you a wager, Lauren, that in the next election, we won't even see this party. Mm-hmm. And if we do in the next election, the election after, not. It'll be gone. This is a reaction to the times right now. And you're right that it does lead to an emboldening. Because when you've got a figure who was a member of government, so therefore carries some authority with them, saying it's okay to speak or have attitudes towards people who don't look like you, that are negative, and that it's okay to speak them out loud, that emboldening is dangerous. That emboldening is a concern. Mm-hmm. But flip it around the other way, and look at how little support he has. Look at how little support that kind of attitude actually has in Canada.
Which is good.
Yes. Here's an analogy that I've been using lately. Have you guys ever boiled a pot of milk where the surface level is like semi-bubbling, you know, you can't really see it boiling, but underneath, like, you can smell that something's burning. I feel that's us. America is very loud, very brash. That's how they are. You know what they're thinking because they'll just tell you. We are so reserved, so polite. We live up to our Canadian tropes for the most part. So we don't allow this kind of stuff to surface as much as they do. I believe that the sentiments are still there. I believe because, you know, yes, we have Max here, but we've also had Trump's influence for the last 3 years. And the border is not a magical line in the sand that stops bad sentiments from coming over.
We That's right. There's no wall there.
From them all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. God. So, you know, there's no stopping of pop culture and positive influence ideas, music, TV, movies. But for whatever reason, we all think that, oh, well, the bad stuff is in America and it'll never come over here.
That's well, no, you're already true. Seeing we have on people social wearing... media. You're already seeing on social yeah. media people, Canadians, who love Trump because he validates them that they're not scum, that what they have to say mm-hmm. is actually a valid part of national dialogue, as opposed to stuff that should be, you know, kept under your white sheet. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that has spilled over the border a little bit. And it's interesting that, I mean, you're concerned that there's an undercurrent, if I'm right, you're concerned that there's an undercurrent of xenophobia that we in Canada cover over because the Canadianism of being polite and that politeness not being an honest expression of your feelings, that there's more underneath the surface than we think. But even if that's the case, we're Canadian. I honestly, it's important what somebody thinks. If they're a bigot, it is important because they get into the position of being able to hire people and so on. So on that level, it's important. But you can't change, you can't legislate somebody's heart. You can't legislate somebody's ethics. But you can tell them to shut the fuck up. And
yes,
society, Canadian society has been sending the message for a while that there's certain things that we used to say that we used to think were okay. They're not okay anymore. Don't say them. Maxime Bernier's party is mm-hmm. saying we should be able to say them. And yeah, you should be able to say them. Legally, you should be able to say them. And you should get the metaphorical punch in the face you deserve and be sent back to your yep. corner. So, I mean, does anybody here, Stuart, you haven't talked in a while, which yeah. is unlike you.
Sorry.
Stuart, your thoughts on the PP party? Do you think this is a party of anything?
Well, if we're just going on the ads, you can't accuse these guys of going to the same, slogan and ad agency as everyone else. Cause I definitely think, Maxime Bernier made these ads himself on mm-hmm. Adobe Premiere Pro. Like they didn't even leave. Like, are we still doing music parodies in 2019, the year of our Lord? Like a Carly Rae Jepsen, Call Me Maybe song parody.
That hurt me so much.
I forced myself through the whole thing, and partially
I couldn't do it.
I was trying to remember what song this was because I haven't heard Call Me Maybe in a while, and I was like, I know this song. What did they do? And it was conservatives it's not that conservatives can't be funny, but there's definitely something about it. Like
always seems to punch down.
It's, yes.
Well, they also get too mad. Like you can even tell like they were probably getting real heated writing these lyrics. Like the other one where it's like Maxime Bernier wants to cancel all funds to and he's like, I don't know. They're just such a I don't know. It's
what the hell are you trying to say, Stuart?
It's a joke. They seem like a joke. I feel like Maxime Bernier is. It doesn't feel like it's a serious campaign.
Okay, fine.
If they win any seats, I would be very surprised.
Can I make a final point on the PP party?
Yes.
So we were talking about, you know, could that kind of rhetoric that they're spewing embolden anything else? Well, just yesterday, Elections Canada gave permission to the Canadian Nationalist Party, which is mm-hmm. somehow to the right of the PP party, to run as a registered party in this election. Now, all that really means is that they had 250 people sign a piece of paper, but you know, they've been getting a bit of media attention for it, and you know, they're talking about we're Eurocentric, blah blah blah, and it's messy, and it really, I mean, there's no questioning that Bernier's messaging is nationalist, and it's I mean, it's hard to point at one particular word or phrase that he said and go, aha, that is absolutely racist. But come on. It's there.
It's the subtext that is... It's subtext that is so strong that it's actually text.
Yeah.
But does let's just move very quickly on. Does anybody here, and of course you can't be held to this because polls right now only start to become reflective of people's thoughts after Labor Day. But I'm going to go around the table before we close. Does anybody here see after the election Elizabeth May being the kingmaker, being the one that decides which party is going to form a minority government? I'll start first with Justin.
Yes or no? I do think that she could be in that position for sure.
Okay, Lauren?
I would say yeah. I think she could. I think she could make that work.
Okay, Stuart?
I definitely think, like, because it's definitely going to didn't decide on how Jagmeet plays this, but if everything keeps going on the same momentum it is now, she's going to have a lot of leverage when the election goes, because I don't see a majority government being formed either way if the Conservatives or the Liberals win either way.
I don't either.
Because the one ray of sunshine, I think, is that, like, for the longest time, one of the biggest problems is that there's always been the NDP or the Green Party siphoning votes from the left, from the Liberals, which strengthens the Conservatives. And maybe Maxime Bernier does the same thing on the right and
hopefully
sort of levels that out. I'm just trying to be optimistic.
Okay, but listen, does anybody here remember where Justin Trudeau was in the polls last election, this far out from the election?
Absolutely not.
He was dead last. Okay, Justin Trudeau was dead last. He was behind the Conservatives and the NDP because the Liberals had been wiped out previously. So, while lots of people, myself included, see a minority government, likely a minority Liberal government, forming, don't be surprised if we wind up with another slim majority government. Don't be surprised. And you know what? In the way things move now and the way our media here is so desperate for some kind of scandal to write about, because Canadian political journalism is so boring. They're so desperate to grab the thread and find some kind of scandal. Anything could happen. Anything could be turned into a scandal, and things turn on a dime. Political fortunes turn on a dime. They rise and fall on a dime. So anything could happen. I mean, if you look at the U.S. comparison, there's a good question. The Hillary campaign saw their numbers plunge in key states after Comey came out and made a statement that was not appropriate for the timing that he made it. You know,
she still won by 3 million votes, but that's a whole
lot. Yeah, that's right. She's a terrible, everyone says she was a terrible candidate, the one who won by 3 million votes. Thank you all for being part of the No Bullpen. I was hoping by the end of it, I would be convinced that talking about the NDP and the Green Party would have been worth my time. I'm not there yet. Guys, but I have enjoyed talking to you. So I want to thank Justin Whitehead, who's coming to us from the Vancouver area, right?
Vancouver Island, yeah.
Vancouver Island. Lauren Griffith, who is practically a neighbor of mine, coming to us from Barrie, Ontario. And Stuart Benson is in, where the hell are you? I always forget.
I'm in Ottawa. Oh, that's capital, right. Baby.
That's right. That's right. Stuart's in Ottawa. Stuart Benson, thank you. Thank all of you. And I want to remind you again, if you enjoyed this program, despite the fact we talked about three parties that are rather inconsequential, if you enjoyed the conversation, and you enjoyed the style of conversation and the honesty and the frankness and the camaraderie, and you prefer this to the pundits speaking jargon to each other, which you're going to find on mainstream broadcast and cable news, do me a favor, do all of us a favor, do yourself a favor, help keep this alive, because we've done really well on spit and baling wire.
we've been embraced. Our numbers on iTunes are insane. We've been embraced. The comments are amazing. If you can give us a subscription of $1, $5 a month, whatever. Somebody gave $20 a month. If you can afford that, great. Please do go to patreon.com/FUNetworkTV. If you can't afford that, and there are people who cannot, then what you can do is go listen to our episodes and leave good reviews and 5 stars, because that also helps keep our rating up. You don't have to only, you know, it's not only money that you can contribute. You can contribute spreading the word, telling people about it, and going on iTunes and writing a good review and giving us 5 stars. Stuart,
just
you're going
to... Yeah, just a little pointer about the iTunes, because I had someone try to search for it. You got to put that little, like, bottom underline between FU politics when you're searching for it.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. FU underscore politics.
You just put the F underscore, because if you just do the space, then it, like, half the time it won't show up. So that underscore is important.
Okay, that's interesting.
And chuck us good a retweet. Know. Follow Ed on Twitter and chuck a retweet when he...
there's a lot of us, a lot of FU panelists on Twitter. Justin, yep. what's your Twitter address?
Mine is @originaljdw.
Okay, Lauren?
I am at Hal, H-A-L, and Lolo, L-O-L-O.
Okay, so, and Stuart?
I'm at Left Hand Stu.
Okay. You can follow them.
Left Hand Freak.
I'm at Stephen J. Kersner on Twitter. You can follow us. You follow some of the other regular panelists as well. There's a lot to be said, and there's a lot that they're saying. And I've said enough. So thank you. Support us. Thank you to all the panelists. Thank you to those who are listening. Thanks for having me. Oh, glad to have you. And thanks for making us a rapid success. Maybe the mainstream media will shine a light on that, but I actually think they're shitting their pants. And that's it. Thank you for joining us on the No Bullpen. I'm Stephen Kersner on FU Politics on Fun, the FU Network.
This is Fun, the FU Network.